Hello, everyone, and welcome to Minute 98 of Season 3 of Movie Rob Minute, the daily podcast where we yippee-ki-yay our way through the 1988 Bruce Willis action film Die Hard, one minute at a time. I'm Rob, and joining me on this lovely Wednesday in the middle of November is David Broke of Blueprint Review. Welcome back, David.
Hello, pleasure to be back.
Yeah. It's great. Just, find that exit sign. That's what you got to do. So, Minute 98 begins with a computer screen exploding and ends with a very angry Carl looking at Hans. So, basically, yesterday we spent the entire day talking about a very long firefight where another one of the bad guys gets killed. Franco is no longer with us. Franco has left the building, as they say. And Hans and Carl continued shooting at John, and then Hans came up with the idea of shooting all the glass because he remembers that John is completely barefoot. So this minute opens up with a computer screen exploding. They must have had a lot of fun blowing stuff up in this movie. Blowing up office equipment and stuff like that, with all the sparks that we see here and the way that it all just flies all over the place. The prop guys probably had a lot of fun, setting all the stuff up, and the special effects guys had fun, destroying it all. Someone recently told me that there's you can go to, they have these places where you can go and pay, and they give you, an hour just to break a whole bunch of stuff.
Awesome.
You can they give you old TVs and stuff like that. You can just go in there and just bang the crap out of whatever they have there, in order to, I guess it's more for people who have anger issues, but, it still sounds like fun. The idea that you can break things and not care about what happens to them, because you can't do that in your house.
It sounds therapeutic. No, I'd be well up for that.
I'm assuming they have things like that in the UK.
I've never heard of it, but if there is, I'm going to find it, because that sounds awesome.
I don't know. We'll have to look for that. We'll have to see if they, if they have things like that. So, as I said, the computer screen explodes from a barrage of bullets, and then we see John, shooting back at both Carl and Hans, and Carl ducks once again behind the, around the corner. And Hans continues to shoot, and he then destroys also a bunch of computers. And we see panes of glass shattering along the way also.
And then also get some. Oh, sorry.
Yeah,
sorry
go ahead.
Jump in.
No,
I also noticed just watching it again now, and I was going to point out last time, and I forgot, is that we also occasionally we got one in the last second, last minute, and one in this minute of Christmas ornaments getting shot as well, I think.
Yes.
Just to add a little bit of a quirk to it, and just to remind us that it's Christmas.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, and what's funny is there's a little Christmas tree on top of the desk that's right above Carl's head, which we've seen over the last few minutes. Each time it gets shot, and just bangs back, it stands back up each time.
Yeah.
It's not something like the computer screens we see explode, but this little Christmas tree does not explode at all. Just so you know, the name of the thing is called a rage room or a smash room or an anger room, what we were talking about. So I'm assuming that you can find these type of things in England. If you just do a quick search for a rage room. Oh yeah, for sure. It's called Smash Space UK.
I just found one. Yeah.
Newcastle. And I'm assuming, there's here, you got in Birmingham.
Four locations across the UK, according to this, northwest, East Midlands. Ooh,
I'm
in the East Midlands.
30 minutes to break stuff.
Wow, there are three not too far from me. Wow.
There you go. I guess we know what David's doing on his next bank holiday. Hey, you got one coming up soon, I'm assuming. As we're recording this, we know that you have a bank holiday tomorrow. But I don't know if it's appropriate tomorrow to go. But that's just a great idea.
Yeah, that's awesome.
They give you like a room filled with stuff and you can just break whatever you want.
£55.
Here you go. Breakable items include glass bottles, flat screen monitors, DVDs. You can work as a team to really de-stress and let go. They allow up to six people to be and smash things at the same time. You can also purchase special items in order to add to them. You can buy extra large bottles. You can buy printers, photocopiers.
Oh yes.
Oh wow, that's just it does sound like fun. Again, I don't have rage issues. I don't feel that I need to go do something like this, but it does sound like an interesting activity.
Oh yeah, I'm definitely down for this next birthday.
There you go. You now know what to ask your wife for your next birthday. There you go.
Yeah.
Just as long as it's not on Guy Fawkes and you're not shooting fireworks at yourself, you should be fine. And then we see that John, who's under the desk, he continues to shoot, and then he actually runs out of bullets. And this is like the first time in the movie we've seen someone run out of bullets, and then he does something even stranger. He throws the gun away. Like, why would he throw? Yesterday we had the whole idea that he takes the bag off of him, which obviously is more encumbersome to do because it's strapped around him. And here he finishes shooting and the bullets run out, and he decides to just throw the gun away. I don't know. You'd think that he would think that he's going to need it in the future. Just that doesn't really make sense. So how many bullets do you think the three of them have shot?
Oh God.
No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding. I didn't check that. I wanted to see your reaction on that one. That's an impossible thing to figure out. I mean, we know that with the magic of movies, most characters have, unlimited
Oh yeah.
magazines in their guns. Most.
Commando is one of the best examples of that. It's just
Yeah.
ridiculous. It never reloads, it's just constantly
No, and then he throw
brilliant.
no, he does throw the guns away as he's
Yeah.
finished with them. He never reloads, but he's done with this one. He just throws it to the side, and takes something else out, as he's doing it. But I mean, I always love the fact that I mean, as someone who has used firearms, when I was in the military. So, when you have a machine gun has 30 bullets in a clip or something like that. And if you're shooting on automatic like they're doing here, it'll take you like 2 seconds to shoot all 30 bullets, and then you have to put in a new clip. And here, the three of them are shooting at each other. And they've been shooting for each of them for, let's say, a minute and a half, and none of them have reloaded at all. There's no need for that whatsoever. And then John just runs out of bullets.
Yeah.
I guess the magic wore off. He
They
for
run out when it's convenient for the story.
That's right. He forgot his Harry Potter spell. What did they teach me in Hogwarts? What was that spell for unlimited bullets?
Unlimited ammoers, I
Yeah, something like that. And at this point, Carl continues to shoot, and Hans joins him, and the two of them shoot out no less than seven more panes of glass, which again, it's fun to see. Yesterday we talked about the sugar glass, so. They had to prepare all of this. It makes you when you're dissecting a movie this way, it makes you appreciate even more all of the little detailed work that goes into making a movie. With all the people that, I mean, we'll get to this when we talk about in the credits, but there's just so many little things that people have to prepare just to get the shot working and stuff like that.
Yeah.
And just watching it like this, you say to yourself, wow, how many panes of sugar glass did they have to put together and then find ways to destroy to make it look like it's being shot, with all
Yeah,
squibs or whatever it is.
and this is just the footage we see. I mean, obviously, they might have gone wrong. It might not have exploded very well. They have to clean it up, reset it,
Yeah.
reset the cameras. It's crazy. I'd be interested to see how many days or whatever it took just to shoot this one scene. It must have been a while. Although, as I say, they do have a few cheats in there where they reuse the same action just from a different angle. But still, it must have
been. Right, but there's also the point that it's possible that some of the shots here were not shots that it was done with, you know, with the B camera team. You know, you don't have to see. There are a lot of shots where you don't see any of the characters.
Oh, definitely. Yeah. There'll be loads. Yeah, a lot of this will be done by the second unit. But but still, it's still time. It's still people still being done.
I'm not belittling it. I'm saying that that you know it's something that can be done simultaneously. That was my point.
Yeah.
You know, if you have the second crew working on it, so it can be done at the same time. You know,
sure.
And there's lots and lots of glass falling all over the place, and it falls on John, and he screams out, "Jesus Christ!" And then we see, you know, we go back to what you were talking about yesterday with the visual storytelling. So we see the exit sign over the door, and we see John looking at it, and then his viewpoint, you know, looks down at the floor, and we see that it's filled with lots and lots of sugar glass, which, you know, he shouldn't be worried about having to run over, right?
I think what's interesting about that little bit you mentioned, because I was going to talk about that bit, on top of the kind of visual storytelling you've got of the looking at the exit sign, looking at the glass, and looking at his feet. What's interesting is that for most of the kind of previous scenes, previous shots we've seen, the cameras, it's either been fairly static, or if there's movement, it's been kind of masked with movement of other characters, for like tracking someone. It's been very smooth, seamless kind of... seamless shooting style where you don't kind of see movement, whereas this is very distinctly changes it. The camera like has quite a fast, quick pan and tilt up to the exit sign, quick kind of tilt down, and it's really kind of it's quite an abrupt movement that it's not quite a point of view, because you can see John as well in the shot, but it mimics that, so it mimics the kind of head movement. And I think this kind of the idea of this, I guess, is to heighten the intensity of the situation, and heightening the fact that John needs to think fast. So the camera's having this abrupt kind of, and it's also putting you in his kind of mindset, even though it's not literally a shot made to look as though it's through his eyes. It's almost, it feels as though you're sat there with him, the way that the camera is moving, like a head would move. And it throws you, it's a nice little moment that throws the audience in there, adds to the intensity of kind of like, what do I do next?
Right.
Kind of thing. So it's a nice little touch.
Yeah. Right. And then we get a shot, as you said, of his bare feet, and, you know, the gunshots continue. And then I love the cheat that they do here. They then show us Carl, who takes one of those hockey pucks that he used, you know, in the second week when he took out, you know, one of the, actually, was it the third week or the second week? Might have been, it was on the cusp between the second and third week. No, sorry. It was the fourth week. It happened in the fourth week, where he had this like hockey puck type of device that he slides across the ground, and then it explodes and has, you know, it's like a flash explosion in order to, you know, blind anyone who's looking. And, you know, that comes like towards us, and then we see the big flash, which we have a large flash of light in front of us, and then there's like a whole bunch of sparks and the sound of glass falling, which is great. They do that amazingly in this particular scene, you know, because everything is calm and quiet after this little flash, and then we see a few little sparks, and then you can hear the sound of glass falling and shattering, you know, what was left, I guess you could say.
Yeah. Sound design's a real art. It's something I'm always impressed by. I mean, when I edit, I do a bit of sound design. I will put effects in there to kind of, but mainly just important effects to kind of make the scene work. But a proper sound designer will add so many layers that you won't even think about. There'll be your basic kind of Atmos in the background, and then in a scene like this, it's insane. That if you ever see the kind of layout, it's just crazy. They'll have like, God knows how many tracks and just millions of little clips in there, and it's incredible work, and it really adds to it. as you say, it's nicely done.
Yeah, it's very well done here. And then we see like a computer bank, and then it gets flipped over, and we see that Carl was hiding behind it, and then he, you know, he looks really, really angry at the way that he's doing it. And then we get a long shot that shows both Hans and Carl entering the destroyed room, the area that John was in. And then Hans goes over to the bag that John had left and then picks it up. And I love the added touch that you have like little shards of glass that fall off to the side, you know, as he's picking that up. And then he opens the bag, looks inside, sees that the detonators are there. And then he turns to Carl and goes, "Smile, Carl, we're back in business." And then we pan back to Carl, and we get a shot showing once again how really angry he is at this point. You know, on the one hand, you know, Hans is happy that they got the detonators just what they wanted, but Carl wanted something else. He wanted John dead. You know,
yeah.
For killing his brother, Tony.
And that's kind of like, that kind of brings me into, on my recent rewatch of Die Hard, I kind of had not a revelation as such, but I kind of realized, I think one of the key things that makes Die Hard so good, because I mean the set pieces are well done, they're exciting, but I think one of the key things that makes Die Hard so good is the characters. Is almost everyone in the film, other than maybe some little background extras you'll get here and there, is given some kind of character, is given some kind of quirk, or just has a really strong performance. Like absolutely everyone, even the goons. Like usually the kind of bad guys, goons, they'll just run around with a gun. They'll be nobodies. They're just cannon fodder. But here, most of them, maybe not every single one of them, most of them have kind of, you get a little bit of story. So you've got the kind of the brothers, you've got Carl wanting revenge and stuff like that. And you've got little touches for, I'm trying to remember all the names of the actors now, but I've forgotten his name now, but the guy later on in another scene where he steals the chocolate bar.
Ah, no, that we already had. That was Uli.
I know him and I can't think of the name.
You know him personally?
No. Oh. I mean, I know the actor.
Al Leong.
Yes, that's it. So just there are so many little touches like this, that, and then the FBI agents have a great kind of characters. You've got another character will come in the next episode. No, on the Friday's episode that I'll talk about. But there's just loads of great memorable characters. Almost, there's so many memorable characters in the film, and I think that's really what sells it. Because in essence, you could just argue it's other than that, you know, it's just an action movie, but it adds that extra layer of that makes it more enjoyable and makes it more engaging. I think a big part of it are these kind of memorable characters that are just given more than usual in this type of film.
Yeah, I agree. I agree completely with that. So anything else you want to say before we get into the script?
I think I'm
good. Okay. So once again, I'm going to read the description here because it's a great description of everything that's going on, because there's just action going on. As glass flies everywhere, McLean sees one option and takes it. Blasting a burst to keep their heads down, he whirls, jumps on top of a long counter, and runs across the room. Their bullets follow him, 6 inches behind him, moving forward. Big Cray units groan with electronic squeals and sparks as a million gigabytes goes to ram heaven. McLean reaches the end of the counter, dives, and rolls to the floor. His foot goes right down on a jagged shard. He groans, but keeps going. As he reaches the stairwell door, he's out, gone, safe. Carl looks pissed as hell. Behind him, Hans sifts through rubble, then comes over smiling. He's holding the bag of detonators. Smile, Carl. We're back in business. So, again, it's a nice description of the whole thing. I in the movie they obviously, you know, pad it a little better. There's a little more going on with the whole thing. I love the way that they, you know, they talk about a million gigabytes and it goes to RAM heaven. You know.
Yeah, I was gonna say it's much more descriptive than you'd get in your standard script. Usually they're more just nuts and bolts. So it's interesting.
Exactly. You know, and the fact that they call them Cray units. I'm assuming people still use Cray computers. I remember, back when I was working in computers years ago, there was like, the company that I was at, they had like two Cray computers. They were like really, really expensive. There were these high level top model, computers that you use for I guess for programming. I don't know. Could be. All right. So every Wednesday we have a segment called Hans Hump Day, which my guests will give their top five Alan Rickman performances. So what have you got for us, David?
I've got a few. I must admit, these ones
Well, I
I
hope
won't
you
get
have
to talk as
five.
much about them because I've not seen as much. Yeah, I weirdly, I kind of semi struggled with this. I think there's quite a few I haven't seen for a while, and he's an actor. I always think Alan Rickman. I love him. He's amazing. But actually, this might sound like sacrilege, but I don't think he's done that many great films. Die Hard's obviously, well, we might get to that later. But I'm gonna go through my list. There's some that I haven't seen for a while that missed out because I just couldn't remember them. But number five is I'm going to go with Eye in the Sky. I must admit I can't remember Alan Rickman's character a great deal in this film, so I don't think it's necessarily a great Alan Rickman film, but I just think it's a great film. I think it's a really decent, solid, really tense thriller. So that like made my list for that just because I really enjoyed it. It was better than I expected. I remember it came out, it kind of looked a bit throwaway, but it was way better than I expected, and so I put it in there. But as I say, I can't remember a lot about Alan Rickman's
I
character,
think
and
it
that
was one of his
he's just
final
kind of,
performances, wasn't it?
yeah, but I think so. I think so. So number four, I'm going to go with Sweeney Todd. This sees Alan kind of playing Rickman playing the villain as he off his he does quite a few times. I would again I don't think it's his strongest performance. I think his performance is pretty good, but I will say with Sweeney Todd being a musical, his singing is awful. He's not got the best singing voice in the world. In terms of maybe an Alan Rickman film, it's not his strongest hour, but I really enjoy Sweeney Todd. I think it's a lot of fun. I think Tim Burton does well. I think some people have argued it doesn't quite do justice to the original musical, but I just still think it's a lot of fun. It looks gorgeous, even though the singers maybe don't do justice to the songs. The songs themselves are still great, and I just have a lot of fun with it. And as I say, Alan Rickman does well. It just doesn't sing very well, but he still does well as the villain. He always works well as a villain.
Right.
So that's my number four. And then the top three are more classic Rickman roles for me. So number three, I've got Galaxy Quest. This I did rewatch for the podcast because I hadn't seen it since the cinema. It's a lot of fun, Galaxy Quest, kind of spoofing Star Trek and spoofing that kind of the fandom around it as much as it is spoofing the actual series. And in this, Alan Rickman plays kind of a thespian who's quite unhappy about being known purely for this role in this naff sci-fi series, and but he still shows it to all the conventions and stuff for the cash. He needs the money, but it's just soul destroying to him. He hates saying his classic catchphrase. It's great to see Rickman have loads of fun in this role and see him do a comedy. He's a great comic actor. And it's just a fun film. Watching it again recently, I can remember the first like quarter or third or something, I was thinking, oh, it's okay, it's not as good as I remember. But I think as it goes on, as it ends, it does a good job of not only kind of working as a spoof, but it has a lot of heart to it and a lot of soul to it, and it kind of it just works. It works a treat. It's a great little movie. So that had to make the list.
Okay, great.
And then number two is Robin Hood, Prince of Thieves, another one of Rickman's most famous villain roles as the Sheriff of Nottingham, and he's so good in it. He has so much fun in the role. He really hams it up, but in a good way, and it's it he's part of what makes the film so much fun. I mean, it could be seen as quite a daft film. There's a lot of things that don't make sense. You've got an American playing Robin Hood and not really hiding the fact, and it's goofy, but it's goofy fun. And I think Rickman is a is kind of a big part of that. So that had to be near the top. It's an old kind of childhood, teenage sort of favorite anyway. And then number one, well, it's Die Hard. I mean, I couldn't put anything else at the top. I love Die Hard so much, and Alan Rickman is phenomenal in it. So, yeah, I don't think I need to talk about Die Hard. I think we've probably talked about it enough on this series. But, yeah, that's my number one.
All right, great. So you want to once again tell people how they can get in touch with you?
Yeah, check out my reviews on blueprintreview.co.uk, where we review cult, kind of cult indie world classics, all that kind of stuff. Yeah, check it out.
All right. Finding me is very simple. Just do a search for Move Around Minute. You can find me on my website, movearoundminute.com. You can find me on Twitter, and you can find me on Facebook. So until tomorrow, yippee-ki-yay.
Oh, yippee-ki-yay.